Thank you, Rabbi Willick, for those beautiful, very unnecessary words. It's schus being here just to be with you. That's emes. And every one of you has an incredible schus. I bother Rabbi Willick daily with shailas for Eitzah. It's schus you have to have him here. It's an incredible schus to be back. Emes, I'm not just saying this. I look forward all year long to being back right here. To being back in this Gan Eden. You know, I don't have the schus yet to live in Eretz Yisrael. I believe I live in Eretz Yisrael, but my house is still in Cedarhurst. Visit Eretz Yisrael often. How could we not? But if we're not zoich to be in Eretz Yisrael, you could be in Kedushas Haaretz right here. And some of you understand this very well that have been here before. And even those of you who have only been here for a few days, I know you already feel this. I hope you already feel this. And one Talmud just mentioned to me when I walked into the Beis Medrash, a Talmud that if you asked him, I had to convince him to come here. It was a whole discussion. He's been here a total of a few days, just like those of you who are here for the first time. And he looked at me with a big smile and thanked me and said, I'm already signed up for next year. MS. It's true. You know, I mentioned many times over the years here that I have very, very few regrets in life. There's really only two. I don't know if I want to call them regrets because both of them really led me to where I am today in ways I'll explain. One of those is just that I didn't sit and learn full time a little bit longer. I went into chinuch very, very young. I was already teaching at the age of 20. Very, very young. I was already trying to give over Torah, trying to be mechanich, mashpia. In those years when you're zocha to learn full time and give over oneself fully to Torah and fully to one's own growth is a very special time. I didn't have as much of that as I would have liked, although that was definitely Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And my other regret on some level is I didn't have the opportunity that every one of you has. That I didn't work at Camp Hask when I was younger. I didn't grab onto that opportunity. I almost was. I was very close. And I decided to go somewhere else. And truth is, that was my first where I went. I was in Antioch, and it was my first taste of being mashpia and being mechanech, and it could be I'm only here today because of that. So it was all rabos machshavos b'lavish. And it could be I'm only here today because I took the opportunity that was given to me when I was young and didn't learn a little bit longer. So both of those decisions really led to me to my life journey. But I think about it a lot. And that's why my talmid don't know how much I encourage to come spend your summer here. And you'll understand it more and more as the summer goes on. I hope this year, you know, Rav Judah said, I don't know if you were listening, but Bez Hashem will be here every week. So I hope I'm somewhat considered maybe an employee. Somewhat considered. Now I could, like, get that regret out the window, maybe. And I'm here. Maybe sometimes I'll just stay a couple days. It happened late. You dated. You remember that last year? Last year, one time I came and spoke one night, and I just couldn't leave. No, MS. This is last year. I came a few times last year. I wasn't home most of the summer. And one of the times I came, and I was supposed to leave in the morning like I usually do, and I just couldn't leave. It was just too special. There were a lot of people wanted to talk, and I was talking, and then just spending the day here was just overwhelming. It was just so beautiful. It was so incredible. I couldn't leave, and I ended up staying the whole night again. And I didn't bring any clothing, and my wife, I just called her in the afternoon and said, I'm not coming home tonight, and she's like, if you're in Hask, it's all good. And it was incredible. I just couldn't leave. There are going to be moments where it's hard, and there already have been, I'm sure. But this is a place where the world is still good. You know, we live in a very, very crazy world, a world of sheker. And you come here, and you remember how it's supposed to be. a world of giving, a world of caring, a world of putting others above yourself. And it might be difficult, it might be hard, and there'll be days where you might be thinking, I wish I could have been anywhere else. But those are the most important days. Those are the days that you're really growing. Those are the days that you're going to walk away a better person, a better wife one day, a better husband one day, a better father one day, a better mother one day. All because you had this chus to spend this summer in Camp Pasch. You know, there's a famous story of the Baal HaTanya and his son, the Mittler Rebbe. The Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, if you weren't so familiar with Chassidus and Chabad and these things until now this summer, you'll also gain an appreciation for that, I'm sure, as Hashem. And the Baal HaTanya had a son, the Mittler Rebbe, who lived right above him. And one day the Baal HaTanya is learning and he hears his grandson, a little baby, crying upstairs. And the tears just continued for a very, very long time. And eventually the Baal HaTanya went upstairs to see what's going on. Why is his grandson crying for so long? And he walks in, he first knocks on the door and no one answers. He feels the handle, he sees the doors open, he walks in, he sees his son, the Mittler Rebbe, the next Rebbe, he sees him sitting and learning as he hears the cries of his grandson coming from a room. He walks right by his son, and he goes into the room with his grandson, and he takes him out of the crib, and he soothes him, and he takes care of him, he cuddles him, he calms him down. And he puts him back in his crib, quietly, calm, besimcha. And then he goes back into the other room and he looks at his son. He says, didn't you hear your son crying? Why did you continue to learn? Why didn't you take care of him? And his son looked at him and said, I didn't hear the tears. I didn't hear him crying. He was so engrossed in his learning. He was so absorbed in his Torah learning, he didn't hear the tears of his son. And his father gave him a lot of mussar. The Baal HaTanya looked at him and said, that type of learning is not the learning that we do. That's not Torah learning. If you're learning in a way that you can't hear the tears, the needs of another yid, it's not the learning that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to understand that there are times that we get up from our learning. There are times that we get up from our davening. There are times that we stop that and we understand the needs of others we put above our own needs, above the Rabbeinu Shalom's needs. That's what's most important, to stop everything else, to be there for another Jew. That's a schus you have this summer. And to understand that's our priority. That's emes. That's what it's all about. Olam chesed yibaneh. And ultimately that's the halacha, by the way. But I want to focus on one nuance within the halacha that sometimes we forget. Because all this, I'm sure you know, that's why you're here. You all understand this, that's why you're sitting here. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why you're sacrificing your entire day, and it's very difficult to be there for others. When there could have been a lot of other opportunities this summer. The halacha in the Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, the fourth halacha. Hayu lefanav asiyas mitzvah v'talmud Torah. If you have the ability to do a mitzvah, or to learn Torah, im efshel lemitzvah le'asos al yedei acherim lo yafsik talmudo. If other people could do that, then you should sit and learn. Vimlav yasa mitzvah. But if no one else is going to do it, like each and every one of you, the mitzvah that you have here daily, every moment, that no one else would be doing, taking care of these neshamas. Yasa mitzvah. You're supposed to stop learning and do that mitzvah. That's the halacha. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. But there's two more words in the Rambam that we can't forget, and it's something to remember. Along with all the chesed you're going to do, along with all the sacrifice, and maybe why we're sitting here right now after a very long day, you all could be chilling and relaxing and just doing a lot else but learning Torah right now. After a very long, draining day that you're still getting used to. But the last two words of the Rambam is v'yachzer l'talmudo. It's the Rambam says ye'aseh hamitzvah, go do that mitzvah. Be involved all day in being there for your campers in every way that you can be and put everything else to the side. But when it's finished, And you still have the ability, if you're not that exhausted, Yachzur l'talmudo, go back to learn. Don't forget that we're also supposed to be learning. We're also supposed to be davening. There may be times when you don't make it to davening because you're taking care of your camper. But Yachzur l'tfilah, go back after when you have that opportunity. Don't forget about that. So let's learn. We're supposed to be together. I'm not here all day to be by your side as you do this great chesed, but I could be here to hopefully after v'yachzur l'talmudo. So you know, we're in the month of Tammuz. We're in the month of Tammuz and we're trying as much as we don't want to look towards those days of Shivas v'Tammuz in the 3 weeks. But those days are lurking. And the emes is, there's not a moment in our life we shouldn't be thinking about those days. Because when we're zoyche to be in Eretz Yisrael, when we're zoyche to be at the Kaisel, and we look up and we see this golden mosque on top of our bias, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not what we want. And we should be thinking about that every day. We're still in Golis. We're still in Golis. There's so many people we want refuos for. And there's so many suffering when it comes to Parnasa and Shiduchim. And all of that is part of Golis. All of it. And that's why the Pasuk in Kohelet says in the 7th Perek, Pasuk Dalet, Lev Chachamim Bebeis Avel, Velev Ksilim Bebeis Simcha. The heart of a wise person wants to be in a Beis Avel, in the house of mourning. And the heart of a fool is in a Beis Simcha, just a rejoiceful place. What does that mean exactly? Are we not allowed to rejoice? Are we not allowed to go to a chasna and be besimcha and be dancing? That means we're a fool? Of course not. If you look at the Targum there, he explains that a true wise person is someone who every moment of their life, even as they enjoy, and as they're besimcha, and as they rejoice, a little part of them is always thinking about Beis Avil. A little part of them is always recognizing that we're in Golis. At the pinnacle of a chasana, under a chuppah, when a chasana and kala are getting married and you have this grand simcha, what happens at the very, very end? At that very moment? The chasana breaks a glass. Not to forget, Meshkachich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, that's Lev Chacham, Bebeis Avel. So even as you spend this summer in Camp Hask, and maybe especially because you're full of such kedusha, and you could forget for a moment. You could forget for a moment when you're in this Gan Eden. So we have to remember we're still in Golis. And we have to try to do what we can to ensure that these 3 weeks will be Nepach, Miyagon L'Simcha. That Amir Tzashem will be this year, that Tisha B'Av will be a Moye, that we'll be rejoicing. We don't have to worry, I've already started getting the calls from various people in regards to different situations and fasting on Shivas V'Tammuz and fasting on Tisha B'Av and different shailas I've been dealing with already. Halavai those shailas shouldn't be, because we're going to be rejoicing, we're going to be besimcha. So what can we do? I think Vavod is everything you're doing this summer, but let me explain in so many different ways. The Belzer Rebbe, the Chassad HaKadosh of Rachos, our Shalom of Bells, he has the most incredible Torah. And I want to share it slowly and go through it and see how I believe every step of this Torah is everything that you're encompassing this summer. He brought down a medrash. He brings a medrash that says there's a machine of malachim, a camp of angels that built the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash. A machine of malachim that built the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Now stop there for a minute. Can't think of any place more so than right here that's a machin of malachim. I just go back and forth if it's talking about the campers or the staff. Every one of your campers is just kulo neshama. It's the most incredible thing in the world. You just look into the eyes and all you have is neshama. It's all neshama. Our guf gets us into all different types of trials and tribulations and difficulties. It's all neshama. It's malachim. And then for each and every one of you to come here and sacrifice of yourselves all day, you're malachim. It's a machin of malachim. So machin of malachim will build the first wall of the Beis HaMikdash. I think it goes further than that. I'll explain in a minute. We'll go through. Let me just give over the Torah and then we'll go through slowly. The Belzer Rebbe says, Machane b'gematria is 103. And therefore somehow, that same gematria, you'll see, follow me, is going to build every wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Watch, it's incredible. So Machane, 103, built the first wall. A camp of angels. Comes along Avram Avinu. What does Avram Avinu call the Makom HaMikdash? He calls it a har, he calls it a mountain. Asher Yehamer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. He calls it a mountain, a har. Har, the gematria with the koilo, you can add one in koilo, we'll get into that some other time maybe, is 206. Exactly 103 times 2. So Avram builds the second wall. Comes along Yitzchak, and Yitzchak Avinu calls the Makom HaMikdash a sadeh, a field. He went to daven in the field. Sade b'gematria is 309. Three times 103. That's the third one. Comes along Yaakov Avinu. And what does Yaakov call it? A bias. Shenemar v'yikra shem ha-makom hu base kel. Base. A bias. What is bias b'gematria? You can't make this up. It's incredible. 412. Four times 103. Every wall of Beis HaMikdash, 103. But you still need a roof. Comes Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and he davens and davens and davens. How many tefillos does he daven? Ve'eschanan el Hashem, a very famous medrash, ve'eschanan is gematria 515, which is gematria tefillah, that's the word tefillah. He davened 515 tefillos, 5 times 103. Is 515. He built the roof. This is the Torah of this Hashalma built. Pretty incredible. So if we could live this Torah, we could build the Beis HaMikdash. And what does that mean? Again, the first wall was Machane, a camp. It's a Machane Malachim. And that's you. A camp is a place of Achdus, of unity, of oneness. A camp is a place where you build relationships. We all know, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Machane, the camp, builds Avos Yisrael. And this camp more than any camp in the world. That's the Machane. To see B'nai Torah, B'nai Torah, giving of yourself. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu not see this and start rebuilding Beis HaMikdash? It's really that simple. I remember last year, Judah told me this about one of my Talmidim. I wasn't here on Shabbos when it happened. But one of the guys walks in, and you might see this, walks in Shabbos by Mincha, and he's wearing sweatpants, and he's wearing a polo shirt. And he's a serious Ben Torah on Shabbos, going to Mincha. Because that Shabbos, he had his suit. He was wearing his suit earlier in the day. But in ways we could imagine, only here, his camper soiled everything. And Imamish was not wearable on any level. So all he had was a pair of sweatpants and a polo shirt to go to shul. Where else do things like that happen? Where else? Where do I see when I'm Zoich? I always, whenever I come, I stay to daven just to be with the campus. Usually I stay a few hours also. Go to dance a little bit with the campers. Malachim. Where else do you see B'nai Torah outside with their tefillin, not able to be in the minyan because they're taking care of their campers? But they understood that's what they're supposed to be. A guy who hasn't missed minyan all year long, suddenly camp and I'm missing every minyan. That's what it's about. That's what's going to be rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That's the machina. So that's the first wall. The first wall is the machina. The second wall, if you remember, was Avram was Har. What's the Har have to do with this camp? What's the Har have to do with rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? How is that mountain, a Har, a mountain? So I want to suggest the following. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says in Daf Nun Beis, Lasud Lavo Meviu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'etahara V'shochto B'vnei Tzadikim B'vnei Rishon. In the future, when we're Zoyich in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the Yetahara and shecht it. You know the Yetahara? The Yetahara that causes us to do everything we don't want to do. The Yetahara that brings us such laziness. The Yetahara that causes us to run after so much materialism in the world. To follow the secular world that's full of sheker. That pulls us towards all our temptations. That Yetahara, Hashem's going to destroy it. Going to shecht it. But the Gemara goes on, and Sadikim nidmelam kahar gavoa, urisham nidmelam kachut sahara. That Yetzara that they can see, the Sadikim look at the Yetzara, it looks like a mountain. To a Russia, it looks like a little piece of hair. And the Gemara says they're all crying. The Sadikim are crying, hey chichon alichvush har gavoa kazeh. They're crying, how were we able to capture this mountain? It was so big. We had to put so much toil, so much effort. I want to suggest maybe they were crying tears of happiness. They realized how big the Eitzar Wahara was and they still defeated it. When we realize that we defeat the Eitzar, we should be so joyous. It should bring tears to our eyes. And the Rishon were crying because to them it looked so small and they weren't able to. So you, the Sadiqim of Camp Hask, the first wall, the Beis HaMikdash, you're building, just doing what you're doing here. Having the achdus, the giving, the Mesiras Nefesh, the machine of Malachim. You know where you're going to build the second? The second wall, because you're Tzadikim and Tzikonios, so look at the Yitzhara like a har. Like a mountain. It's big, it's hard. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Sionos that are very, very big in life. But you know what you came to ask to see? You came to Sask, you came to Camp Hask, to be inspired by your campers. To live with neshamos all summer long. Neshamos without any guf. And how could you not walk away with a proper focus of life? How could you not be inspired by your campers to prioritize and reprioritize and never fall to that mountain of the Eitzahara again? Because I remember all that's good in this world and all that's important in this world from right here, from this summer, for the rest of your life. A few years ago, this goes back maybe 5-6 years ago, I was the Rav of a camp. It's Rav Camp Dina. And one of the men on campus worked in Hask years before that. And he was talking to me on a Shabbos. He was literally with tears down his eyes. How he was impacted from Camp Hask. Of course, in a way we spoke about already, in the ability to give and sacrifice. But he said his Avodas Hashem was a different Avodas Hashem for the rest of his life. He decided that summer, he had, when we were talking, because I was here often during the summer, and he just decided, he didn't come here in years, he had to come visit, just to step back on this ground that changed his life. And he, of course, in Ben Al-Nukhair, but also in Ben Al-Makum. But also to help defeat that Yetzirah that's like a har. That sometimes is so powerful. Because when you look into the eyes of your camper, how can you not be changed forever? How can you not be reminded what the world is about? How can you not remember that we're a neshama and we're not a guf? So that's the second wall of the Beis HaMikdash. Then comes along the Yitzchak Avinu, comes along the Sadeh. Sadeh 3 times 103, right? It's incredible. What is a sada? What is a field? What does a field have to do with rebuilding Beis HaMikdash? What's a field have to do with each and every one of you? You know, it's amazing. The night of Tisha B'Av is always the night of Pesach. In the same night of the week. Whenever Tisha B'Av is when Pesach is. Because they're very interconnected. They're opposite sides of the coin. The night of Geula. Zelu Mazeh. And Pesach, if you pay attention, Lel Seder, there are a lot of messages. But one of the amazing messages of Pesach is to elevate everything that's physical in our life for Hashem. One of the simanim of Lel Seder is Shulchan Aruch, is the meal itself. Maybe we look very forward to that. It's a long night. It's one of the simanim, right? We go through Kadesh, Urchat, we get the Shulchan Aruch. We say it, like it's the meal. Why is that one of the simanim? Because the whole avodah is to be so holy that we elevate everything that we do. Even our eating is elevated towards Hashem. The way we spend time with our family, with our friends, is elevated towards Hashem. I think this is what Rav Judah was talking about minutes ago in the Beis Medrash. The Sadeh is a field. The Sadeh represents a field is a place we go out to. A place that represents our livelihood, our parnasa, our outer world. Not necessarily when we're in the Beis Medrash, Beis Knesset, in our bayis. It's the outer world is the Sadeh. The avodah of every yid is not just to be kadosh, be holy when I'm davening, when I'm learning, but to be holy in every little thing that we do, when we're out in the sadeh as well. The way that I eat, the way that I socialize, I walk differently. You know, once we leave Mitzrayim and become this nation, we start counting 2 years Omer, to prepare to be mekabel that Torah. That's when we became a nation. And to prepare to eventually enter Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Lashon is Svartem Lechem. You should count. Tzadikim bring down Svartem is Lashon Sapir. To be shining like a sapphire. Lechem, all that you do in this world. All the you of this world. Not just the Rabbon Hashem in the world. All the you. You're eating, you're sleeping, you're hanging out. Whatever it might be. Make that shine as well. Usvartem lechem. Make the you shine. That's a sadeh. No better place in the world to learn that than right here. As we've mentioned already. You may be sacrificing and not be able to learn as much as you've learned this past year. And might not be able to daven as much as you davened this last year. And you're spending time in a playground with a camper. You're spending time in a pool with a camper. You're spending time dancing with campers. Spending time in whatever activity, at concerts. All that is Kodesh Kedoshim. You learn here that everything I do could be elevated to serve Hashem. Even when I'm in the Sadeh. And that's what the Rabbon Hashem is waiting for. The Rabbon Hashem wants us to be so one with Him that our machin is malachim, that we defeat the har, the etahara, we're kodesh in the sadeh. So we have three walls. What was the fourth? The fourth is the bias. The fourth is the bias. Bias is 4 times 103, 412. What does that mean exactly? Every one of you is going to be zoche to build a bayis. To build a home. You know, what you're doing right now is preparing for that. Preparing to understand what your home should look like. What your home should be about. Your bayis should be a bayis full of kedusha. A bayis full of achdus. A bias where one day your children understand that life is about giving and caring. A bias is kadosh. This place is so kadosh. You feel it. You walk on the ground here and you feel it. And nobody's concerned with the outside world when you're right here. You know, Rav Avraham Shor, in his Sefer on Chanukah, he asked the following, very famously, if you know a little bit about Chanukah. So the Chanukah menorah is really supposed to be placed outside. Right, those of you who have been zocher to be in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael for Chanukah, in Minhag Eretz Yisrael, everyone lights their menorah outside. If you learn Shulchan Aruch, that's where it's supposed to be. And there are a lot of reasons here in Chutz La'aretz the Minhag began to light inside, but none of them are actually so great. I'm not going to go through it in the Chanukah time right now, but none of the reasons are so great. Really, it should be outside. In my house, we light one menorah outside. There are reasons. That's our minhag. If Shor says something, it's tough to swallow, but emesh v'amito, an hour dar. He says, you know why we light the menorah inside? The light of the menorah is the light of Kedusha, the light of holiness, the light of our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And it used to be, for generations, the Yiddish home, the Jewish home, was so pure and so holy and so protected from the outside world. And when the children and the parents were in that home, it was Torah, and it was mitzvos, and it was chesed, and it was Rabbeinu Shalom, and it was Hashem. But the outside world was dangerous. The outside world had its influences. And therefore, the symbolism of lighting the menorah outside was we need to be Mekadesh, bring light also to the outside world. But it's become over the years, and we all can relate, that we've brought the outside world into our bias. And no longer is that only in the outside world. We've brought the outside world into our bias. And all that you can find in the outside world is in the bias. Because we have smartphones, and we have internet, and we have TVs, and we have whatever it might be, whatever you want to call it, and magazines and things, and whatever you want, and newspapers, and it's all, that whole outside world, the world of taiva, the world of temptation, the world of materialism, the world of sheker, that the whole entire entertainment world tries to push upon us, we brought it all into our home. So Rav Shor says, Bizman HaSeh, you need to light the menorah in your house itself. Because you need to light up your own house. You need to mekadesh the house. The fourth wall of Eis HaMikdash is bias. 103 times 4. Telling us once we work on our machin, our achtos, our benonu chavero. Once we work on our benonu makom, our heart, the feet of Yitzhara. Once we understand that I'm going to mekadesh everything in my life. Then make sure your bias a kadosh. Matovo alech Yaakov mishkan osecha Yisrael. As we read this past Shabbos. You come here to Camp Ask. And I guarantee you, for every one of you, those of you who have been here, those of you who haven't been here, it's transformative. It's transformative in the ability to give and be inspired by your holy, holy campers, but it's transformative in just recognizing what holiness is, what Kedusha is, what a bias should be like. There is none of that outside world here. This world is Kadosh. This world is holy. And that's what your bias should be. Your bias should be patterned after this. And that's the fourth wall of the Beis HaMikdash. But what about the roof? So the roof is finally one last step. And that roof, we said, is Ve'eschanon, Gematria 515, 5 times 103, which is Gematria Tefillah. And therefore, after everything else, we can't forget to daven. After we work on ourselves and perfect to the best of our ability our Ben Olam Chavero, to perfect our Ben Olam Makom, after everything else, a Jew has to always know, I'm left with tefillah. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, even though you may have days that are very difficult and very time consuming with your campers, and there are days when you might not make it to Shachris, or to Mincha, or to Maariv at those times, or whatever it might be. No matter what, you have to daven. You have to have that relationship with Hashem. The world runs on tefillah. You'll see, because without it, we're lost. Because you are going to have those tough times. But when you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you always could be lifted back up. I felt this non-stop over the last 6 weeks. Non-stop. Some of you know, some of you might not know. But 6 weeks ago, my wife had open heart surgery. Ma'ish Yisrael was everything to me. She had open heart surgery. She needed a valve replacement. Very difficult time in our lives. And in these type of situations, sometimes you feel very helpless. You're left just for the Rabbi Nishalom, for the doctor. You have to have this. It's a serious surgery when you literally cut open your entire body. But it was the biggest chizik in the world that we knew no matter what, we could daven. And it was the biggest chizik in the world when there was a chat going on with over 450 people for 6 days straight, non-stop, saying tilim. Non-stop. Every time I opened my phone, that's all I saw, and it was the biggest chizik in the world. And I know that had so much to do with why that surgery was so incredibly successful. But I'll tell you something, over the last few weeks, my wife's definitely had a lot of Baruch Hashem. The surgery was incredible as far as her heart. But for the recovery, for you, you know, you have to break open your rib cage to be able to do the surgery. And she's had some issues with that. And definitely been in a lot of pain the last 3 weeks, particularly, more so even than the first 3 weeks. That wasn't expected. And it's been hard. You go through months of not feeling well, and then eventually she had an infection, was in the hospital, and had to have this. And you think, finally, okay, you can have open heart surgery, but afterwards, that's going to be it, right? And then to have to go through what my wife's going through now, and for her and for myself just to be by her side. And sometimes it's like you go to doctors and they don't even know what to do. And they give you medications, but they don't really help much. But there's no yish. There's no despair. Because it's something we always have, and it's called tefillah. And in those moments, I just take out a tilim, and I daven, and I go to shachris and to mincha ma'ariv, and I daven, and my wife davens. And when you daven, at that moment, it's suddenly all good. It's just all good. I felt this myself, I'll never forget. I've spoken about this before to some of you. Years ago, I had go through the whole story, but I had a laser procedure on my throat. I had a polyp that needed to be removed. And the surgeon said to me, like, it's going to be a little procedure, you'll be fine, you don't have to come with anyone, you can drive by back yourself afterwards. And, you know, there were a lot of, they had to check me a few times, and they basically, I don't know, and you've had anything like this before, but they stick a camera through your nose, down your throat, and she said, like, it's going to be basically very similar to that. We'll just do the camera and the laser, and burn it off, and we have to watch you for an hour after you drive home. For a day you can't talk, and then it's recovery with a therapist, and Baruch Hashem, it went great, and my voice, B'lei Ein Hara, since then has been better than it ever was before that. I mean, I don't mean I have a good voice, like ability to speak, you know? So. But she's in the middle of the procedure, and they like, you're basically like locked into this chair because you can't move at all because of a laser going down your throat. That could be very dangerous if you move, right? And the doctor's there, and they have like a couple nurses and they start doing this procedure. And first they numb like my nose and my throat and give me different type of anesthesia and so that of course I'm not going to feel anything. But they start lasering and you're burning it off. And it was the most incredible pain I felt in my life. It was unbearable pain. And I thought I'm going to go out of my mind. Like I'm going to just like break out of this and whatever happens, happens. Because I couldn't take it. And then I started smelling the burning flesh, like literally. And I almost lost it. Like that tears like coming down my cheeks as I'm in this chair. And then suddenly I just thought to myself, okay, let me just daven to Hashem. And I couldn't, I had lots of things down my throat. I couldn't actually physically daven in words. But I, b'machshava at least, I was able to just talk to Hashem with my mind. The moment I started davening, I was fine. And I don't mean it was some miracle that physically the pain was gone. But I was somehow, I was just calm, I was fine, I was able to get through the rest, and it was good to go. Because I was just remembering with the Rabbonu Shalom, he's taken over, it's all good. And that's what tefillah is for us. Tefillah is that mechanism that allows us to be reconnected to Hashem, And we need that at every moment of our life, wherever we are, at every moment. And that's what's ultimately going to be the final, the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So while you're here, don't forget to daven. And the davening might have different, might look a little different than it did a week ago. And it might not be that you're going to daven a full with brachos and pesukei zimra and shaman. It might be sometimes shaman, shaman esrei. And it might be sometimes brachos. It might be... But make sure davening's seriously part of your day. That's going to be the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the final connection to Hashem. But I'll be honest, it's not the final. That's where the Belzer Rebbe ends his Torah. I mean, I don't think he spoke about Haskell, but you get what I'm saying, right? But Rav Avraham Shor takes it one step further. Because Rav Avraham Shor said, we have four walls and we have a roof, but what about the floor? How did we build the floor of the Beis HaMikdash? So I'll end with this one with a bracha. I'll end this with a bracha. That might be stereotypical for Hask as well, but it's all good. You see, Rav Shor says the final step of the Beis HaMikdash has to be 103 times 6, right? 103 times 6, which is 618. Right? Because we went from Machaneh 103 to Har with the Kol 206 to Sadeh 309, Bayis 412, Veschanan 515. Now we need 618. This is another 103. Ish and Isha. Ish and Isha, man and woman, with the Kol together when you combine them. Ish and Isha is 618. I mean, the final step is to have Shalom Bayis. The final step is to have not just that bias, but to have a couple who are loving, who are caring, who are putting each other above themselves, who are building a house of Kedusha that every one of you should, Bez Hashem, and will do. And on one hand, I just want to say there's no better place to learn that than right here. Every time I'm encouraging Talmidim, Talmidot, to spend the summer here, I say, it's very simple. No, I'm not talking about like a meeting on the road. I'm talking about, I'm just saying that just by being here, I have no doubt you're going to be a much better wife and much better husband. Because you understand what it is to put others above yourself, which marriage is so much about. I have no doubt. Okay, maybe you'll meet also. You never know. I mean, Elio, what do you say? I had to call you out. You're sitting right here. Baruch Hashem. So just give you a bracha, Bez Hashem, that you should be zoche, whether it's here or wherever it might be, whether it's here or wherever it might be, to have that level of Isha Isha and have that Mikdash Mat that you're going to build. Bez Hashem is baruch, and that's the final step, to have that bias with an Isha Isha. So Bez Hashem is baruch, I'm looking forward to this whole summer of being together every week. I'm here every time. Leah and her, Bez Hashem, every time I come, I'm here to stay all night. If anyone wants to talk, has anything they want to talk about, the men, the women, going to be in the Beis Medrash pretty much all night. Sometimes I'm outside a little bit. Tonight, I don't know about that. Most often, I'll stay in the morning also. So I'm here not just to give a shiur, but to also be there for you guys. And Bez Hashem, it should be an incredible summer of growth. A summer of Machane, of Har, of Sod, of Bayis, of Eschan, of Ish Isha. And that's chus, each and every one of you will grow in the most incredible ways, will give in the most incredible ways, will definitely, definitely be able to build your Mikdash Mat, but in all of us together, Bez Hashem, then build, Bez Hashem, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, with Kula Shleima, the Meher Rabbi Yameinu. Have a wonderful night, and we will continue.